Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
And we are back on this gloriously beautiful Saturday.
It's very nice. Oh, it was a brisk 60 outside this morning. Oh,
just so lovely. And we get to stare at it out the window. We don't actually get to experience it.
Longingly stare at it. Yes,
because we are pulling a marathon today, buddy. Not as long as we've done in the past, but
we'll call it a 15K.
A 15K, okay. We're recording a whole bunch of episodes at once.
Yep.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. We just loaded up on some fantastic breakfast food, so I'm going to try and not fall asleep in the middle of all this. And, you know, here to talk about Dune.
Yeah, I say how you're doing as if we haven't spent the last 2 hours hanging out. So.
Yeah. You know how I'm doing, Zach.
The people got to know, John. The people got to know. Yes, we kind of left off on an exciting week. In the middle of some action last week.
Yeah.
And we are back today to finish that up. We are, of course, referring to minute 150 through 151.
150 minutes.
We are in the home stretch.
Whew. We're there.
There is a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train.
Is it a worm?
Maybe. We are back mid-fight. We're getting a lot of slashing and grunting. Fade delivers a headbutt to Paul here.
Yep.
And every time I say to Paul, you know, I say to Paul. Which reminds me of the Star Trek Enterprise character, to Paul.
Oh, okay.
T'POL.
Yeah.
So that's what goes through my
head. They like their T'apostrophes in Star Trek.
Yes. For Vulcans, it's usually for the women Vulcan. For Klingons, it's everybody. Everyone gets an apostrophe in Klingon.
Have you gone down?
Not everyone. Worf doesn't have it.
Have you gone down the learning Klingon rabbit hole?
No, I know it exists. I'm not doing that. I don't have space in my life for that.
You're a fake Star Trek fan, is what I'm hearing.
Fine, whatever. Now, when Fade delivers a headbutt.
Yes.
Do you think it hurts worse than a normal headbutt because of his Cro-Magnon skull?
I imagine that giant protruding brow doesn't feel good.
I was just looking at it. It looked like it hurt a lot.
Well, it hurts so much that it knocks Paul on his ass.
Yeah. After a leg sweep, he gets his leg swept.
Okay.
Listen, John, we have to be pedantic because there's just not a lot in this.
No, we do. And if we're being pedants about this, we also forgot to mention that Paul gets punched in the gut before the leg sweep. But Fade is also got a bloodied nose because he got headbutt by Paul on what would have been Friday's episode, but we forgot to talk about that. So,
yeah. Anyways, I have a note further down in the list about how Paul's blood looks very wet, and Fade's blood looks like dried and
crusty.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah.
Because they happen not 2 seconds apart from each other.
Fade's just built different, dude.
I guess so.
He's way more of that protein that causes your blood to just coagulate and stop, you know, bleeding.
So while Paul is on his back, Fade comes in with kind of like an overhead.
Oh, wait, hold on. No, so I have beef.
Oh, you got a beef?
Yeah. Okay. So a beef that only the Dune Minute would have, I think. Because when I'm watching this fight, I'm watching it, you know, frame by frame because there's not a lot of substance to the minute other than the fight itself. So, Austin Butler and Timothy Chalamet, first of all, are the only people throughout this entire fight doing it. There's no, like, cutting in stunt doubles or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that because I went and did a little Googling because there's one point...
Get on the Google box?
Little bit on the Google box. There's one point where I was like, this seems like this would be a stunt double part, but we'll get to that when we get to that. So... I went to the Google machine I went to www.google.com and then in the Google search bar typed in my question, which was, are there stunt doubles in this?
Yeah.
And the answer was no. And there's a interview with Roger Yuan, who...
Your boy Lanville.
What?
Lanville.
Yeah, I was going to say, I will remind you, also played our friend Lanville in both part one and part two. And he was talking about how they would like shoot a couple movements, and then while Denis and the rest of the cinematography group were off like adjusting camera angles and everything like that, Timothy Chalamet and Austin Butler would be like off, you know, 15, 20 yards away from everyone else, like doing the full fight, just like to keep the energy up and to keep the motions in order, almost at full speed too.
Wow.
Which is crazy. Like, I can't imagine how sore they must have been the day after filming this. Sure. With
you know, a lot of times action sequences will hide behind quick cuts.
Yeah, especially when like someone gets like knocked on their back or whatever, and they're knocked on that like padded piece of foam or whatever.
They don't really do that here. They do some like. There's obviously a lot of quick cuts that go around, but the shots are, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds long at a time, which shows, yes, these people are actually doing this.
Same thing for when Fade was fighting Lanville. There was a lot of like consistent, we're sitting here watching the characters fight for a minute.
Yeah.
But anyways, back to my beef. So with the leg sweep, Fade does this thing where he like crouches low and does essentially a roundhouse kick kind of motion for the leg sweep. It's not just like a quick, you know, in and out kind of pull. But Timothy Chalamet, as he's preparing for Austin Butler's leg to sweep out his own from underneath him, preemptively lifts his right leg about half a second too early.
Oh yeah.
And just continues to ride that up half a second too early and starts to fall like the very second that Austin Butler's ankle touches Paul's leg.
Okay.
Or touches Timothy's leg. Yeah. So it's one of those things where it's like watching it in full speed looks totally normal.
Sure.
Watching it frame by frame or at like quarter speed, it's like, hey, wait a second. You're off a little bit here. But I can't, you know, critique it too much, because like I said, it is the actual actors doing this, and they've been, you know, practicing it, so clearly they give a shit.
That doesn't feel like a beef to me. It feels more like a nit.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is, hey, that's what we do here.
More of an observation about
movie
making, I suppose.
Now, when Paul's on his back, Fade comes in with this overhead, and Paul deflects it with a kick. Which I thought was pretty cool.
He kicks him right in the chest. And then Paul takes opportunity of Fade being knocked on his back to get up and essentially do the same thing.
Yeah.
But then Fade kicks him in like where the bicep meets the elbow area and like kicks his arm back.
I was like, that was a cool little turn right there. And Paul's like, he does like a hammer slash with his Chris knife after this. And this is the one that looked sloppy to me.
Yeah.
It looked very just like explosive and not a trained focused blow like all the other ones that we see.
And also weird because he hits the ground with like the hilt of his knife first. So it's like, what's that going to do if you hit Fade? Like,
it was a very weird, this looked like he saw a slight opening and tried to get something in there.
Yeah.
So we get a small break from the fight. Fade's crouched down. When I say small break, I mean like a second.
Yeah.
Of them not actively hitting each other.
Yeah.
He lunges at Paul. And this is where Paul gets to do his anime flip.
Yep. And this is where I was looking to see, okay, are there stunt doubles?
Yes.
Because conveniently, you can't really see Timothy Chalamet's face that well. There's a couple frames, if you go through the frame by frame, where it's kind of hilarious because you just see him and he's like, kind of.
He's like the pictures of divers mid-dive.
Yeah.
Like Olympic divers.
Yeah.
Hilarious. And this is why you get a Timothée Chalamet in your movie, because he loves doing shit like this. He's parkouring and anime flipping all the fucking time.
Yeah. So Fade goes in low, and Paul puts his hand in the middle of Fade's like shoulder blades and basically like pushes down on Fade to leap himself over. But he also does like a spinning roll over Fade.
Right.
And then once Paul lands on the ground,
superhero landing, by the way,
superhero landing, and then immediately goes to swipe at Fade's Achilles tendon.
Yeah. Which would have hurt. Now, this is easily dodged by Fade. He just moves his foot a little bit. And as Paul is getting up, he's in prime, just chest-kicking zone.
Yep.
And he gets the shit kicked out of him.
I was going to say, and what do you know? He gets kicked square in the chest.
Yeah. Sends him reeling backwards. And this is where I had the note of like, oh, Paul's blood looks wet. Fade's looks dry.
Yeah.
Very strange.
So going through frame by frame, I found one frame in this that is absolutely hilarious. Once Paul lands on the ground, where he's like on his back and he's looking towards Fade, and he's just got this like, oh, kind of look on his face.
Now Fade on his feet, dried blood coming from his nose.
Yep.
He decides to take a moment, a breather, if you will. He looks back at Chani, who is seething.
Well, because he sees Paul looking at Chani.
Right, right, right. The way that I read her face here was, we may be having a marital spat.
Yeah.
But I get to kill you.
Yeah.
Not him.
Bitch, you better not die.
Yeah, don't die because I need to kill you later. she also looks like she's kind of champing at the bit to have a crack at Fade.
Yeah.
As is everyone, I think, here. Fade notices this interaction, looks at Chani, back to Paul, and goes, she is your pet. I'm not going to do my Austin Butler.
She's your pet.
Austin Butler doing a Stellan Skarsgård impression. Chani kind of gives a subtle shake of her head. As if to say, don't say anything.
Yeah.
Don't.
As if Fade can't immediately deduce.
Right. He's not a dumb person. He's not his brother.
He's a psychopath of high intelligence.
You're right. We get a shot back to Irulan, which is going to be kind of her face the entirety of this minute. And honestly, next week too.
The rest of the movie.
Yeah. Her just kind of like staring, mouth slightly open.
She's ever so slightly slack-jawed.
Yes. but we get a shot back to Irulan, and I thought it was interesting to show her now as like, oh, this is the competition.
Yeah.
You know? So Fade starts to walk over to Chani, and Paul gets to his feet.
Yeah.
And Fade turns around and says, any special attention for the pet? Which is gross.
Yeah.
It's a very gross thing to say. In character, but still gross.
Yeah.
And Paul begins to slowly walk over to Fade, breathing very heavily. He's got the wind knocked out of him.
Sure. I mean, I also, with the amount of like swiping and slashing and stabbing and jumping and everything and getting the wind knocked out of you, I would also just be like, oh, I need five.
Hey, man, fighting to the death is good cardio. So after a few steps.
Potentially your last cardio.
Yeah, potentially. After a few steps, that is the end of the minute.
Damn.
Now, none of this happened in the books.
Okay.
the fight scene that happens between Paul and Fade is very, very different. So I'm going to save it to the end of the fight.
Okay.
Before we talk about it, because it's just, there's not even little bits that I can drop in here because it's so just, this has been dramatized heavily.
Sure. Is the she is your pet line from the books? Because if it's not from the books, then it's an homage to Lynch's film.
I'm going to pause and look.
Yeah.
So the line that we get from Fade is sort of this. I mean, it is a close enough adaptation to what he says in the books to where it makes sense.
Okay.
The exact line from the book is, that woman you were talking to over there, Fade Rotha said, the little one. She's something special to you? A pet, perhaps? Will she deserve my special attentions?
Okay.
So yeah, it's a pretty good, okay, pretty close. Yeah.
I didn't remember what the exact line was, because if it wasn't in the books, then that would absolutely be an homage to Lynch, because right, it's almost exactly word for word. If memory serves me correctly, it's been a minute since I watched Lynch, but it's almost pretty spot on to what Sting is screaming during this fight.
Oh, jeez. Oh, Sting.
His sinewy body.
Mm. Mm.
How much cocaine do you think was on the set of...
Enough to where it was probably a line item in the budget. Yeah, it was a lot. I mean, they were just... anyway, I'll save all my opinions of that for when we cover Lynch.
If we cover
Lynch. If we cover Lynch.
Yeah.
One day. I'll save it. All right. Well, we got to get to the next part of this fight, my friend.
We got a lot more minutes to talk about today. Yep. So, in the meantime, you can find the Dune Minute online. We are on bluesky@duneminute.com, and you can email duneminute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us that way. We'll see you tomorrow for another episode, and we're going to figure out what's going to go on with the rest of this fight, I guess.
All right. See ya. We'll